Let us pray. Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Since it's Mother's Day, I wrote up a description of my own mother to share with you. My mother was a short, powerful woman. When she walked, you could hear the click of her heels before she came into view. Her original hair color was brown, but had been every shade of blonde to black in her working years. Her shoes and bags matched. She lived in the day when girdles were standard issue. As she came through the door after work, hot flashes overpowering her senses, she'd strip as the door closed, squeezing out of her clothes while we watched and shrieked in horror. Her speaking voice was typical New York, loud and commanding. Her singing voice, in her own words, was akin to a frog with asthma, which unfortunately never stopped her from singing loudly. Her boss called her Little Mussolini. She was fearless and tough. She could fall asleep anywhere, sometimes in the most inappropriate places, where her snores reverberated in sacred spaces, movie theaters, and concert halls. She had absolutely no understanding of subtlety. Her Sicilian temper was legendary. One time, when she was particularly angry at someone, she said to him, "You are lucky I'm a Christian, or they would have found your body in pieces at the bottom of this hill." Fortunately, she was a Christian. She believed passionately in Jesus and took his words to heart. She believed that prayer was as necessary as food, and she found companionship, comfort, joy, and a purpose for her life through prayer. Indeed, as she aged, she became a co-conspirator with God. So it might not surprise you that her favorite biblical character was the prophetess Deborah. Deborah, who in a time of male leadership, in a time of a patriarchal society where women were seen and not heard, sometimes not even seen, Deborah rose to a position of power in her little nation. And she was a co-conspirator with God. Deborah was a fascinating woman. There was a tree named after her. I guess she decided that she would sit under this tree and people would come to her and get advice and counsel and mediation and anything they needed. It was a time in Israel's history where they were an oppressed people. And an army had taken root in Israel. And these people were oppressed in every way, politically, economically. It said that the overlords to them were very cruel. And they had an army that was unsurpassed, 900 chariots of iron. It would be as if someone would come against a Humvee, an armored Humvee, with spears and sticks. They were outnumbered and outgunned. And when they came to Deborah for advice, I'm sure it was not silly things that they came for. They were probably asking questions like, how do we cope in a time when it's hopeless? How do we live? And Deborah gave them advice and gave them hope for every circumstance of life. When we are co-conspirators with God, one of the greatest things we can do is speak hope into hopelessness. And that's what Deborah did. She spoke hope in that time of hopelessness. And then at one point, God spoke to Deborah very clearly and told her it was time for the people to shake off the oppression of Sisera, the great commander. So she went to Barak. Barak was a great commander. He was a fearless man. A lot of commentators think he was cowardly, but I don't. I think he was a realist. When Deborah came to him and said, God said, it's time, I'm sure Barak said, okay, how do you know this? I'm looking at this realistically. If I bring all these people to bear and to fight Sisera, we're going to have a bloodbath. It's going to be a terrible loss. Good commanders know when the battle is too much and will not go up to fight when they're ill-equipped. And Barak knew his people were ill-equipped to take on Sisera and his 900 chariots of iron. But to Barak's credit, he did not say, you're crazy, we're not doing it. What he said was, okay, we'll do it, but you've got to accompany me. And I'm sure he said that because he figured if she had the courage of her conviction, she would go with him. Otherwise, she'd stay in the safety of her palm tree. And so she said, yes, I will go with you. But know this, that Sisera, the person who kills Sisera, will not be a man. And if you remember the rest of the story, which I won't go into, look up. You can Google her when you get home. Her name was Jael, J-A-E-L. And you'll find out how she did Sisera in. It's pretty gross. But, you know, you can do that as a homework assignment. So Deborah goes up with Barak. And she stands with him. And then she says, up, get up and go. Now, what's interesting with Deborah is she didn't arm herself. She didn't do the work for the army. But what she did was give the moral support and the powerful words so that the army could do their job. And so the army went out, and the rest of the story is that Sisera's army was routed, and the land had peace for many years. Are you a co-conspirator with God? Co-conspirators do not fight other people's battles for them, but co-conspirators will stand with someone in the storms of life. Co-conspirators will go into the battle with you, and give you encouragement and shout from the sidelines and take care of you as you do the battle. And you know of these co-conspirators because many of us could not get to where we are today without a co-conspirator with God, someone who believed in us, someone who spoke words of truth. And when we were in that point of life where we said, the battle is too much, I can't do this, that person said, get up and go. We all have co-conspirators with God in our life. And the challenge to the Church of Jesus Christ today is, are you like Deborah, a co-conspirator with God? Co-conspirators with God are prayers. And they have a deep understanding that they cannot do this battle without prayer. They have a deep understanding that God is a God of liberation. And if someone is in the stranglehold of oppression, that it's God's will that they come out of that. What's interesting to me is the preface to this story was that the people of Israel were not doing what was right. And yet when they cried out to God, God sent people to liberate them. So even when our oppression is our own doing, God sends people to help get us out and liberate us. That's grace. And God needs co-conspirators with him, like my mother was for so many years. She was a co-conspirator with God. There were times she said things to me that other people gasped and said, that wasn't very loving, but it was right. And one time she said to me, you need to get out of the house. You need to go and not come back. She told her boys, whom she loves so much, that when they married, you will always be welcome in our home with your wife next to you. And if your wife's not there, don't bother to come back. Now, that doesn't sound very loving, does it? But she knew her boys, and she knew that they needed to stick it out with their wives. Are you a co-conspirator with God? When people are under oppression, do you stand with them to help liberate them? Deborah was that co-conspirator with God. May it be said of us that we are God's co-conspirators when we see somebody oppressed. Let us pray. Lord, we are so grateful for the strength you give us, even when we see no light or no hope. We ask that, like Deborah, you will plant in us that absolute assurance of your grace, your strength, and your mercy, and help us to be your co-conspirators. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.